So it's parashas mishpatim. Mishpatim are not the same as Torahs and mitzvos and chukim, other categories of mitzvos. Mishpatim are the mitzvos that regulate our interactions between each other, bein adam l'chaveiro. And I think one can often wonder why I need a Torah to dictate these laws for us. Seems like the kind of thing that I could figure out on my own. You go through a lot of the different laws in the Swiss Parsha, and yeah, I could figure that out myself, can't I? Can't I figure it out on my own? And yet David HaMelech says, Mishpatim bal yida'um. The Goyim do not know even the Mishpatim. Forget about the mitzvahs that tell us how to be spiritual, how to bring us to higher levels of ruchnias and connect us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give us dveikus b'Hashem. Forget about all that. They don't even know mishpatim. Even the rules, ben adam l'chaveiro, they can't even figure that out. So what do you mean they don't know mishpatim? And we live in a highly impressive society where laws are created and enforced. Apparently they did figure it out, the Torah, without the Torah, didn't they? So the first thing we need to know is, as the Ramban writes, that to whatever extent we see the laws of the land, of whatever land, wherever it may be, that their laws are just and fair and good and ethical and moral, it's because they got it from us. We don't give ourselves enough credit. We were given the job of being a light unto the nations, to be a role model, to take the Torah and learn it and live it, and thereby teach the world how to live properly. To a very large extent, we have already succeeded. We've accomplished this. It's an enormous part of what should be part of our pride, our heritage, that we've done this. Our ancestors and we all have accomplished this to a great extent. For example, as I like to point out, Hammurabi's code. Some attributed maybe Hammurabi to it was Nimrod. So people have never read Hammurabi's code. Sometimes like to say, well, there were a set of laws before the Torah was given. Well, it was Hammurabi's code. Oh, see, people came up with this before the Torah. But if you actually read Hammurabi's code, and you see how backward and grotesque the laws are, you would quickly not have that question anymore. For example, my favorite example, there's so many, but my favorite example there is, if you kill somebody's daughter, Hammurabi in his great wisdom said that we must punish you. Yes, we will kill your daughter. Women didn't count. Slaves didn't count. That was their form of their justice that's spread apparently very far, and people are very impressed by Hammurabi's code, and many people accepted this. He came up with these amazing laws. We changed that. Does anyone believe that now? Virtually nobody would believe such a thing now. The Torah taught that human life is precious. The Torah taught about equality. If you kill anybody, then you are killed. Now, that's not to say that we have fully succeeded in our mission just yet. I think we can still say Mishpatim bal yida'um with a whole lot of kavana, unfortunately. And even just a few hundred years ago, they were still killing slaves, or not punishing people who were killing slaves. In the slave states, the law was basically, unless the slave was completely submissive, completely following your rules, and you just killed him for no reason, you were not liable. If it was done as part of disciplining the slave, then it's okay. You can kill a slave. You did it as part of trying to educate and get the slave to do what you want. In the slave states in our great country, just a few hundred years ago, killing slaves went like there was no problem. Our Torah says, no, you kill a slave, you get killed. kill a woman, you got killed. You kill a slave, you get killed. The slave state said it was illegal to educate slaves. It was illegal to teach them to read or write. The Torah says that when you take a slave, not only do you have to take care of their physical needs, but we elevate them, and now they keep mitzvahs. They keep the mitzvahs of the Torah. A slave joins the family and becomes a participating member of Klal Yisrael, as much as a woman keeps mitzvahs. They keep the mitzvahs. And how about babies? Do they count? Well, that one we still do today. Still today, the world is happily, readily killing babies by the millions, and it's okay, and they justify it. In just the previous presidential elections, the Democratic nominee who was running against Trump, she said, on stage, on a national televised debate, publicly said, Mrs. Clinton, Senator Clinton, Secretary Clinton, whatever they called her at the time, what's your feeling on late-term abortion? Late-term means the baby's almost going to be born. It's late. It's far into the pregnancy. What is your feeling on that? And to huge applause, the crowd went wild. She said, I believe nobody should be getting involved in these decisions. They're such important decisions and serious decisions that a woman needs to make. Nobody should be telling them what to do. Let them murder their children. Okay, she didn't say those words. And they applauded her. Yes, finally, people are coming out and even justifying, defending late-term abortion. I think currently to be a Democrat politician, them running for anything, if you, for sure on the national stage, if you do not now follow that, and you don't say, yeah, let women kill babies, even late-term babies. It's fine. Kill babies. You're out. I saw some headline. They're trying to defeat some Democrat senators, like the last one who's anti-abortion. There's only one left, and they're gonna get them. There's a huge percentage of our beautiful country that we do have so much to be proud of in this country, and we have so much to be proud of that they've learned so much from the Torah, from our way of life. A huge percentage of the country is just okay with killing babies. And not only that, they will despise you if you're against killing babies. You are obviously an evil person. Controlling women and telling them what to do with their bodies, obviously you're just part of a patriarchal society where men control women, and you are a bad person. So yes, we can still say Mishpatim Bal Yadom. Unfortunately, they still haven't figured that out. I know, at one point, I saw a statistic, I think in New York City, I think it was an African-American pregnancy was more likely to end in an abortion than actually the baby being born. Most of the pregnancies ended in abortion. So there's rampant murder, killing of babies. So when we look around and we say, why do we need mishpatim? I think that itself, to me, has always been the biggest muster and the best example that, yes, we need rules given to us by Kadosh Baruch Hu, and thankfully he gave us them so that we could be moral and good people. Here's another example for you. Relevant especially if you live in Maryland. How about protecting yourself from an intruder in your house? Another mitzvah in this week's parasha. In the state of Maryland, if you shoot them before the bullet comes within a foot and a half of yourself, then you kill them. No, you cannot shoot them until the bullet almost hit you. They have to almost kill you, then you can fire. Otherwise, no, you're going to jail. Forget about going to jail. There's going to be riots, and everyone's going to say you're a horrible person. How dare you kill somebody? The Torah says, if an intruder comes to your house, you can defend yourself. Mishpatim Bal Yadom. They haven't quite figured that one out yet either. Now, how do they do this? This is insanity. Kill babies? Don't let people defend themselves? How is that possible? They come to such crazy conclusions. And the answer is in a word that we all need to know and understand very well is rationalization. Humans are amazingly capable at rationalizing just about anything. We have a gift to rationalize anything we want to do, no matter how bad it is. We can rationalize it. We can explain it away as being perfectly fine. We can explain anything that we want as being perfectly okay. Hitler could rationalize the mass murder of millions and millions of people and convince lots of people that that's okay for the sake of cleansing society, whatever. He had a way to, he found some pretty words to explain it and got people to buy into it. We can rationalize anything we want. Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us mishpatim, set down laws that we can't do that. We can't say murder is a problem, oh, but only if I murder somebody within my own Indian tribe, but the other tribes are okay. Only my own country, but I go attack other countries. Only men, but it's okay if I kill women. Only our class, but a lower class are slaves, that's okay. Only if I'm a certain age, but babies, that's okay. Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us mitzvahs to enable us to live as moral good people and did not leave us just drifting, trying to figure it out on our own and ending up fighting like college students on college campuses fight with anger in their faces against horrible men who don't let them kill their babies. They believe it. They fight for it. They've rationalized it. It's become their religion. So we look at that and we say, wow, these people are nuts. What's wrong with these people? But really, a more mustardic reaction, I think, would be when you see somebody doing something wrong is asking yourself, well, now that I've identified this very wrong behavior and wrong mindset, do I do this at all? Where do I do this? Let me not spend as much time belittling other people and thinking how crazy they are. And let me ask myself, do I suffer from the same Yetzer Hara? And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we can all find that we do, not to that extent, not with those, in those areas, but we definitely do. We all can rationalize things. Every one of us comes up with arguments, reasons, rationales for things that we want, and we fight for them, and we believe in them, and we'll become very religiously indignant about anyone who disagrees with me, all because I want that thing. Or maybe because I allowed the views of society around me to seep in and allowed them to form my beliefs and my views on things instead of just looking at the Torah. Maybe one time I saw a movie where a poor young lady was crying because she felt she had no choice but to have an abortion. And the people who made the movie, produced it, who went to college and years of learning how to really produce videos in ways that they really tug on your heartstring, they made the video in a way that it made me feel bad for the person. And now I said, wait, all those poor people, I should feel bad for them. And yes, I should defend them. And that can also morph our view of things that would otherwise seem so basic and obvious. We can have the views that are not based on the Torah easily seep into our own way of looking at the world. We could think, well, I watched something that doesn't have, doesn't have anything too bad, and it's okay, I watched that video. And we don't realize what little messages, subliminal or not so subliminal messages, are included in every single movie. I was reading recently that nowadays, if you make a movie that shows married couples, men and women together, and you do not have an example of some alternative lifestyle in the movie, you will be ostracized by Hollywood. They will accuse you of being a hateful, backward person because you did not help push their cause of showing the world that husbands and wives living together is just as normal as every type of isser out there. You cannot make a video now without pushing their immoral perspectives. They have to include it. We can lose sight of what's rational and not have the obvious awareness of what's right and wrong from our own rationalization. Like, I'm afraid that I'm not able to sit and learn for a long time. It's not what I feel I'm cut out for. Okay. And then that becomes, just as an example, that becomes, no, it's not that I'm just not cut out for it. It's that all those people who do it are so bad. And they're so horrible. And they're so smelly. And they're so poor. And they're so, I hate them. There's, our own emotions can easily twist our philosophies, the way we view things, and the ways other people, by allowing other people's views to seep into our way of thinking, by exposing ourselves regularly to their movies and their songs and their lyrics and their, and saying, oh, it doesn't affect me, I just like the tunes, I just like the action, I just like the video, I just like, and trying to convince ourselves that that does not have an effect on us is ridiculous. To think that exposing ourselves to modern culture and it will not affect us, because I'm okay, that's insanity itself. So we all need to be careful. And when we say mishpatim bal yidzaum, when we say that in Pesukei Dezimra, that they don't know the mishpatim, because they rationalize things and come to their own conclusions that they want to come to, we have to remember that we also can't learn from them and can't allow ourselves to be susceptible to the same yetzeres of just coming to philosophies, beliefs, views that are really fueled by our yetzeres, our insecurities, our desires. It's a big musr. And Mitzvah Hashem will take musr from the people around us. And instead of, like I said, instead of spending time, although most of my shmooze was pointing out all the crazy things people believe in, really, that the goal is to look at that and take musr to ourselves and say, oh, what are the crazy things I believe in? And what are things that I need to weed out from my own belief system, because my belief system has been infiltrated by foreign, non-Torah, non-true beliefs. Have a wonderful Shabbos.